I think you'll be encouraged, and God's word is always good. There's always something that we can stand on, something we can take away from. And just in the last couple of weeks, God had been laying something on my heart, and it had to do with spiritual strength and in our resolve as a believer, kind of who we are. And some of you know, I love grace. I love to preach God's love and grace, but also at times we need to understand how that affects us and how our society that we live in affects us. Okay, so that we can live out our life as a Christian believer in a little better fashion, or something that it's not about us as much as it is about glorifying God, but we want to live out that life that glorifies Him and that He is exalted. But let's start out with some prayer this morning. Father God, we're here in Your presence as believers, people that have come to learn and grow in our faith towards You. And Father, I pray that today we learn about spiritual resolve. We learn about a strength that You have given us that surpasses our own emotion, that surpasses our own willpower, that surpasses the flesh that we live in. And Father, I pray that we learn to draw from You and that we seek out Your presence and Your power in our life, and that we allow You to do what You want to do in and through our life, giving You all the praise and the glory for it. We pray You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So spiritual strength and resolve, and I'll just sum it up in kind of one little statement that I haven't pre-planned. So basically, spiritual strength and resolve has to do with not getting your feelers hurt to the point that you walk away from God. Okay? Being strong in Christ. Okay? Being strong in faith to the point that this thing right here, our Bible, is really where we get our strength from, and that we draw and allow God's Spirit then to speak to us through that and to be able to get from it what we need. Okay, so if you got to leave early, you got it in a nutshell right there. Okay, on top of that, let me go through this. Be a little different. We got a little video. We got some other stuff. I like to change it up just a little bit. We live in a changing world. Okay, something we just talked about, change this morning, even during the service. But some of those changes that we see and experience are fantastic. I mean, they're good changes. Things are so much easier to get from point A to point B today than it has ever been. Some of the things that we get to experience of being in, whatever, Casper or Denver today and being in, you know, Seattle in 3 hours or whatever. I mean, those are things that are fantastic. Things that were not even possible, you know, in the not too distant past. The advent of things like technology, and I'm going to pick on that one just a little bit today. The advent of technology and its effect on our society is very profound. Okay, the days of not knowing how many cups are in a quart, okay, or the days of not knowing how many feet are in a mile, or how to spell a difficult word like congratulations is one that gets a lot of people. Those are essentially things of the past. Now, my phone is connected to the camera this morning, so I can't actually say okay and follow it up with the Google lady's name, because that's what I call her, is the Google lady. But if I did, I could ask and I could say, okay, how many miles is the sun from the earth? And within a half a second, she would respond and say, the sun is 92.96 miles from the earth. Just like that. Instantaneous, almost, answer on something that I really wouldn't know, otherwise not have known. I would have, you know, had to go look up somewhere. Our kids today are learning at a very young age, okay? I mean, we're talking 2-3 years old, they begin to learn that this little thing in their mom and daddy's hand has a lot of answers, right? And they now find that to be a source for factual information, things like dictionary or encyclopedia type information that is literally at the tip of their fingers, or you could say at the tip of their tongue, right? You can ask Siri, you can ask Google, whatever. It has all but eliminated the need for several generations now to leave the fact finding and the fact retention. I don't know about you, but I remember that 92.96 today. But ask me a week from now, and I probably couldn't get the 9.6 part. I'm like, it's 92 million miles, 96 million. Okay, I'm not going to retain that. Why? Because it's instantaneous anyway. If I need to know it again, somebody asks me, oh, hang on a minute, I can look it up. Okay, we constantly have these discussions in our house. Some of the boys are into football and sports and things. And so, you know, ask them, hey, what team does, you know, so-and-so play for? And if they don't know it, which most of the time they do, but if they don't, within a second, they will. Let me see your phone. They get that information. Who does so-and-so play for in the NFL? And it tells them almost instantly. What has happened from this is it has created an effect in our society. Rather than retaining the information, okay, that fact-finding and retention, sometimes we leave that up to Google or Siri, Apple, Microsoft, Wikipedia, you know, you name it. There's sources out there that we allow them to gather that information for us, so to speak, and then we can just recall that when we want it. And the effect that that has had on our society, in part, there's a lot more to it, but in part is that it begins to encourage people to make decisions no longer based on their own personal knowledge or the truth, but they base it more upon their feelings, more upon a gut feeling about the information that they heard. Okay, people tend to not think for themselves as much because somebody else has done the thinking for them. Okay, I don't have to remember how many miles the sun is from the earth. Google lady knows it, right? She'll remember that. An example I can think of is that when I hear a computer tell me that the sun is 92 million miles away, how do I feel about that? Does it change the way I feel about the sun in any way? Personally, I feel that the sun, hey, bear with me, guys, it'll get better. Okay? I personally feel that the sun being that far away is further than I will ever travel in my lifetime. Okay, you couldn't, if you wanted to, go to the sun, correct? So I'm really not going to think about the sun too much. I'm not going to think about it much more than that. I will never go to the sun. I will never have much interaction with the sun other than an occasional sunburn if I'm out in the sun too long, which then I could ask Google how to treat that and how to prevent that, right? And she'd say, put sunscreen on, put some lotion on it, and then put some sunscreen on, right? That'll prevent it. From that, I established kind of a relationship with the sun that means nothing more to me than that if I'm going to be out in it for a certain length of time, that I will prevent it from having an adverse effect on me. And that's about it. I'm going to put sunscreen on. That's my relationship with the sun in that sense. Now, it would seem pretty silly for me or anybody else to get upset at the sun for being the sun. Right? I mean, the sun is, for the most part, it's just an inanimate object. It is something that is out there, okay? But the reality is people get upset over things that they have no control over all the time. Okay, people don't like the wind, okay? Or maybe a storm is coming in, okay? Like this weekend, it was on the news. It was, if you got the app on your phone, it was all blizzard warnings and all these things going on, high wind warnings, and I think the roads closed and those kind of things. Those kind of things cause people, some people, anxiety. And from that anxiousness, people then get a negative opinion about the winter or the weather. Okay, do you see how it's the wind. Okay, it's not something you're going to go out and stop, control necessarily. Yes, you can speak to it, but for the most part, it's something that is not, you're not going to have control over. Okay, now the same happens, or that same kind of experience is true when the change involves a little bit more human development. Okay, or human involvement is the best way to put that. So, like when the government or a large corporation makes a change and it affects the masses, including you, feelings toward the government or toward that employer, a big employer, whatever it is, are altered. Okay? In a situation like that, the emotions are more directed towards people than they are an inanimate object. Obviously, when that group gets smaller, especially when it's an individual person, the effect on a person's emotions and feelings is much more profound. Okay, see, I was going from the sun. Oh, I don't have much feeling. I don't care much about that. I'm just going to prevent it from doing what I don't want it to do. See how easy that is? When it's a corporation, they're kind of inflicting something on me, and it might create a negative opinion about that. But now when it gets to be an individual person, my emotions and my feelings are going to kick in to the point that I want to try to put a stop to this, and if it's within my control, which most of the time people think they can control other people, and so they're going to try to put a stop to it. Okay, now, not too many people have been found to scream and yell at the sun. Okay, once in a while we get upset with the wind, we might have some choice words for it. Okay, but for the most part, we're not going to do that. Occasionally, somebody might respond to a move of the government, maybe with a rant on the internet, or maybe a letter to a senator. They're going to try to affect that in some way. But when it's in a one-on-one confrontation, people are more easily offended to the point of high emotion. If somebody or someone, individual, imposes their will on you, you are more likely to lose your temper, more likely to maybe feel rejected if that's the case, or to have your feelings hurt to the point that how you feel about that person is affected now possibly for the long term. Okay? In other words, when it's personal, it's personal. Even though that individual might be just doing their job, maybe they're just fulfilling their role as a parent or as an employer, as a family member, as a friend. They might be doing that to the best of their ability, the best way they know how, and yet people take it personally and do not appropriately deal with or utilize their feelings. And therefore, it creates a negativity. It negatively affects them. Okay, now I know that's a lot of word, and where's God in all this? I'll show you. The best example that I can give you of what I'm talking about right now and how people have gotten into what's in their hand, how we can relate to computers because we can control it. Okay, and then when we get into a situation with a person, we want to be able to control that as well. And the best example I can give you that is in the form of a video. Okay, and some of you may have seen this before. It's of a person that is caught up in the middle of our high-tech world, and they have learned to relate to computers. They've learned to talk to Siri and learn from Wikipedia, but they have lost that ability to function appropriately in a personal one-on-one relationship. Okay, watch this short video.
Amy, it says you are trained in technology. That's very good. Are you adept at Excel?
No.
PowerPoint?
No.
Publisher?
Not really.
Exactly in what area of technology are you proficient?
Snapchat, Pinterest, Instagram, Vine, Twitter. You know the big ones.
I'm surprised you didn't say Facebook.
Old people, like my parents. That's funny.
Well, Amy, when you're working for me, you have to have those kind of research skills because I'll send you things for you to comb through and get the answers and send them to me. So for that, you've got to be really good at technology.
For stuff like that, no problem. I'll just ask Siri.
You'll just ask Siri?
You know, Siri tell me this, Siri find me that. We're all good getting you the answers.
Tell Siri I want you ready to go at 8 sharp each and every morning.
I don't understand.
What don't you understand?
What you just said.
You don't understand be ready to go?
No. You said 8, right?
Yes.
8 like in the morning, 8?
Yes, in the morning.
Yeah. That kind of doesn't work for me. Who gets up at 8?
I do.
I Skype with my French boyfriend in Paris until like 3 in the morning. I don't even get to Starbucks until like 10, where I order my grande chai tea latte, 3 pumpkin milk, light water, 2% foam, extra hot, but not too hot. So if it's okay, I work best in the morning at 10:45.
Wow. Amy, I don't think we're going to be a good fit.
Why are you so negative? I can sense your hostilities, and right now I am not feeling very safe. I've been here for over 5 minutes, and the only nice thing you have said to me was nice resume, which I typed all night for this meeting with you. You've given me no guidance, no validation, no encouragement, no supervision. Is there an HR director somewhere?
HR director?
Yes, I need to speak to someone. I may have to take off today as a mental health day.
Take today off? Amy, look at me. You don't work here.
Are you firing me?
Okay, yes.
Well, that's kind of funny, right? Sort of. You should have seen the comments down below on how many people have actually interacted with somebody like that. This is a little exaggeration of what I'm talking about. A little bit. Okay, there is something that happens when we focus on phones and computers and technology kind of stuff that it gets us to a point where we have a hard time relating with an actual or having that actual conversation with somebody. Okay, now I'm showing this example today, kind of hopefully an exaggerated one, to help you understand so that you can guard against being led, directed, and controlled more by your emotions and your feelings than you are by the Spirit of God. Okay, as a Christian believer, we want to be led by the Spirit of God. Okay, the man in this interview was not being a big meanie. Okay, he was not being offensive. He was not against this lady in any way. He was simply doing his job and fulfilling his role to the best of his ability. He had to ask her those questions, tell her what the expectations are. Now, God has given you emotions, and we went over that last week and the week before a little bit on emotions. God has given them to us for our benefit so that we can feel and experience things and use that then in some way to glorify God. He has given them to us for a purpose, but for the Christian believer, our emotions are not to be what dominates our outcomes and our decisions. Okay, you are the temple, literally the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the dwelling place of God. You are indwelt by the very power and presence of the Almighty God. And as you learn to live and to walk in the Spirit, that's our goal, right? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We're in the Spirit by being born of the Spirit. So then let us live in it. Let us walk in it. And we do that as you learn to live and walk in the Spirit. You will allow Him, the Holy Spirit, to be the one that prompts you, the one that directs you and guides you and your decisions. Okay, the fact remains that God has given us this instruction manual, okay, the Word of God, not to teach us so much how that we can deal with and interact with inanimate objects or, you know, computers or those kind of things. We are not to... It is not teaching us how to let a computer retain most of the factual knowledge while we base our life on our feelings. Okay? I'm not feeling it. Okay? That's an expression that gets used a lot. This doesn't make me feel good. I'm not into this. This is hard for me to handle. Okay? The Word of God is actually instructing us on how to deal with and interact with God and with people. And I've said for years, life is about God and people. Okay, it's not about some of the other stuff that we get all caught up in. Sometimes we are just expecting everything to kind of be warm and fuzzy all the time and just to always feel good. We want to feel good about things because if we don't, we're going to bail out, man. I'm not going to put up with this. Right? We're going to move on. We're going to quit. Or at the very least, we're going to throw a little fit about it. Right? If it's not making us feel good, I'm going to throw a fit, see if I can change something. Hey, like the girl in the video wanted to, I know she was on the phone, I think, calling her mommy, okay, or wanted to complain to somebody, HR or somebody, about this mean man. Okay, just like that, many Christians today are missing out on a lot of potentially good things in their life because they let their feelers get hurt. Okay, they take it too personally and think that that person is out against me instead of realizing that this person is just fulfilling their role. I'm stepping on toes this morning. Hopefully you can handle it. I'm believing you can. Okay, but there are employers, there's family members, there's friends. They have a different perspective, and so as they come into your life and begin to speak something, you can get all offended at it until you realize, wait a minute, that's my mom we're talking about. She could speak into my life like that, or that's my boss. If he wants me there at this time, I need to be there at that time. Okay? And when we start to realize what's actually happening, that person's not against me. They're just doing their job. They're fulfilling their role, and it's not so bad. Okay, when people don't accept the roles that other people play in their day-to-day lives, they begin to reject the truth of what's actually happening. And in a sense, they are rejecting the correction. Okay, sometimes God wants to use other people to help guide you a little bit. Most of the time it's right here, and I'll explain that in a minute. The truth is that sometimes doing the right thing is not always going to be easy. It's not always going to give you goosebumps, okay? It's not always going to provide you that immediate sense of pleasure, okay? That immediate gratification. Did you notice, and I know it's exaggerated a little bit, but when she started getting upset, what's the first thing she reached for? Okay, I need some immediate gratification, something that's going to, you know, how many likes did I get today? Or, you know, something that will help her to feel better about it, okay? If you don't believe me about the life that we live and some of the things that we go through as a Christian, let's look at the Apostle Paul. Okay, he reminded us that his life, although he was serving God and loved God and Jesus, he went through a lot of stuff. It was not always peachy. Let's read some scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. He says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Three times, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been floating in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Let that one sink in. In weariness and in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. The Apostle Paul, his life was not always peachy. And yet he's a man of God, serving God, honoring Him, giving His life over, and having that life that many of us desire to live, to be that great man or woman of God. Peter and John were also, a couple guys, imprisoned for their faith in Christian Jesus, right? For teaching about Him, for sharing the gospel of Christ. Stephen was martyred, stoned to death, right? Because of his faith in Christ. Throughout the centuries, people have lied about Christians, their involvement in things, blamed them for all sorts of evil, causing plenty of unfriendly circumstances, okay? What it really comes down to is that we have to be aware of and be on guard against being self-absorbed, okay, self-focused, self-centered. Okay, that's a big one we hear a lot. Because the world does not revolve around you. Okay, just like that young lady, you see that focus? It was all about, wait a minute, that doesn't really work for me, right? And that is the way, and I kid you not, it's not just young people. I know the video kind of points at young people. But it's all of us. Where we get to thinking the world evolves around me, so what you're doing doesn't fit with me, therefore I don't like it, and now I don't like you. Okay, and we just take it to that extreme. Because the world doesn't revolve around you, it revolves around the sun, and by that I mean the S-U-N and the S-O-N, right? The world evolves around Him, not about us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, to bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But later in that same chapter, verse 8, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit," capital S, "shall of the Spirit," or from the Spirit, "reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now in that verse 8 it says, "He that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap life everlasting." That word "soweth" in the Greek, okay, it means strengthened from or draw from. Okay, if we are drawing our strength from our flesh and allowing that to be our source, then we are going to end up doing that which immediately feels good or that suits me. But when we're doing that, we are drawing from the wrong source. Okay, when we draw our strength from the Spirit of God within us, then we will be strong enough to do the right thing when it's the right time to do it. Okay, so there are many people today that have gotten their feelings hurt, okay, been offended by a coworker or an employer or a church or a fellow Christian, and they let that offend them to the point of quitting or actually falling away from Christ, because they're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Okay, Christians that are continually in God's Word are going to handle things better because the Scriptures are going to be allowed to guide us and correct us and keep us on track. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Okay, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect or mature, right? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But those that are not in God's Word, those that are not allowing the Spirit to speak to them through the Word, are going to be relying more on their natural senses to guide them. Okay, and unfortunately, at that time, God has to start using whatever circumstances are around you, whatever circumstances that you got yourself into, and begin to work that out for your good, because He'll work all things together for your good. Okay? So He has to start using those circumstances then and try to work that together for your good with the intention of getting you back on track. Okay, now one example I thought of, and kind of out there a little bit again, but it's an example, okay, is somebody that drinks a lot of soda. Okay, I don't mean just having an occasional pop with your meal or whatever. I'm talking drink a 12-pack of Mountain Dew every day. Okay, anybody been there? Yeah, a couple of us. I've been there. That's why I use this as an example. Okay, I've been there. If that person, and hopefully this doesn't step on you too bad, but if that person was in the Word of God, they would see that they are to bring their body under subjection, okay, and not just let it feed on whatever it craves or desires. They would see from the Word of God that we are to do all things in moderation, right? That's going a little excessive. They would see from the Word of God that we are not to make an idol out of anything, even soda, because it will eventually lead to negative circumstances. But unfortunately, since they're not in the Word of God, that stuff didn't rise up in them and help guide them. So if they're not in the Word of God, they will not yield to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and they will not quit drinking a 12-pack of Mountain Dew every day until what happens? Their body begins to break down. Their body begins to reject and say, "Wait a minute, you got to do something here." Okay, maybe they start having heart problems or, you know, insulin problems or insomnia or some other physical condition. And so then what? They go to the doctor, and the first thing the doctor tells them is, "You need to quit drinking that much Mountain Dew every day, right? Or you're going to die." In that case, God had to use the doctor to help get you to do the right thing. Okay, your body and the doctor, He joined those two together to work it out for your good. "I'm going to help you to quit doing that." But God was showing you and telling you the right thing to do from the very beginning. Okay? If you were listening to what he was saying. Now, the Christian that is not in the Word of God, the one that doesn't use it as that factual, truthful basis, that source for the decisions they make in their life, can quickly become self-absorbed. Okay? Where it's just about what feels good. It's about me. Okay? And they'll be thinking only of themselves. But the Christian that's in the Word of God knows that we are to what? Esteem others better than ourselves. Right? And they will have read and they will be hearing the Spirit speak to them things like Philippians 2:4 that says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Okay? That's in the Word of God, and the Spirit will begin to speak through that. Okay? Many years ago, when I was studying for ministry, my pastor gave me a book, and I ended up to do a book report on, and it was, forget the exact title because I didn't look it up, but it was something like Listening to the Spirit in the Text. Okay? And it was capital S. Listening to the Spirit in the Text. And I don't remember the whole book, but I remember the main focus, the main point that I got from that was that there is something supernatural that comes from reading and hearing God's Word. Okay? The Holy Spirit speaks through the Holy Scriptures, and that is how we are strengthened and taught to do and live out the Christian life. Ephesians 3:14, the Apostle Paul prays for the Ephesians. He said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Okay, Paul prayed this prayer because he knew full well that not only was it possible to be strengthened by the Spirit, but that it was much needed for Christians to be strengthened by the Spirit. Because Paul was often grieved in his spirit. This is when I was reading a couple weeks ago. I began to see Paul's heart a little bit. Okay, and how he was grieved because fellow Christian believers were not living in and according to the Spirit of God, but they were being led by their flesh. They were being led by their emotions. I'll show you a couple in a minute. Now, we've heard many times the stories about people that were hurt by somebody, by Christians, by a church, and they allow that to turn them off of God, turn away from God, either for a season or some people go on for a lifetime. It may have even been a legitimate offense. Somebody might have said or done something really nasty, didn't need to be said. And they may need to make some sort of change in their life. I'm not negating that. But turning away from God was a response of their flesh and not a response of the Spirit of God. Okay? When you forsake the assembling of yourselves together, okay, you exclude yourself from that position where God can begin to use other believers to help sharpen iron, right? He can use them to exhort you and to encourage you, okay, and be encouraged by other believers. When you get down or you get discouraged, you get hurt, you get offended, God is not going to tell you to avoid him and his people. Okay, he may make some changes, okay, right? There's strength. I like to surround myself with strong believers, people that are going to help encourage and lift up. Listen to the Apostle Paul's solution to the people that rejected him or that hurt him and some of the things that he suffered. 2 Timothy, he's telling Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. He tells him, do thy diligence to come shortly or come quickly unto me. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Okay, Demas listened to his flesh. And is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans, yeah, he left me, went to Galatia. Titus, yeah, he went off to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. That's a key thing if you study Paul's life. He surrounded himself with people that were profitable for the ministry because you don't want to be brought down. You don't want to be constantly trying to... Anyway, that's a different sermon altogether, but hold that in your thoughts. Verse 12 says, Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, and especially the parchments. And he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and the Lord strengthened me, so that by my preaching, by me, the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord never forsakes you. The Lord is always with you to strengthen you. As the Apostle Paul, at a different time, he's encouraging the Christians because they're going through it. And they're struggling and they're saying, why are these bad things? Why? I don't quite understand. And he reminds them that even though life came at him hard at times, he never lost faith and trust in the Almighty God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. He says, our hope to you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life itself. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, so that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Even King David, who went through a lot of things in his life, got pretty discouraged and wrote about some of that. Some of the tough things in his life, he also says that for him, the Lord was his go-to source for strength and encouragement. Psalm 18:1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He is my buckler and the horn of my salvation. He is my high tower. So in a world that seems to be increasing in, pardon the words here, but soft emotional sissies, okay, that can't handle life, okay, it gets to be too much, overwhelming, and they gotta, run away or turn away from it. We as believers and followers of the Almighty God need not to be afraid. We need not to be so easily offended, and we need to remember to stand strong with the Lord. Okay? He is in us. He is with us. He has not left us, and he is right here to take us to that next place. Whether it's an object of some sort like the sun or the wind, or it's somebody that is close to us like a family member or a coworker, no matter what, we need to draw strength from the Spirit of God. Draw that resolve that comes from listening to and sowing to the Spirit of God. Okay? Remember, he that soweth to the flesh shall reap bad stuff. He that soweth to the Spirit, draws from the Spirit, will reap life. Okay? And that is our goal this morning. So, Father God, we praise you this morning. We exalt the name of Jesus. You are the King Almighty, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God Most High. We worship and adore you as our loving Heavenly Father, as the Son that has made us free and the Holy Spirit that empowers us. Lord, we thank you for leading and guiding us. I pray that each and every person here this morning, anyone that listens to this message, will be encouraged to draw strength from you, to let you be the source of the decisions that we make, that we base the things that we need to do or want to do, that we base it on you and your word and draw from the truths that are in it, that we always follow after you in your promptings and not just always yield to the flesh. Father, we trust that you are great and awesome, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you lead us and show us and reveal unto us all things that we need to know and all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Father, we praise you, we worship you, we adore you, and we thank you for your work in our lives. Lord, you're not finished yet, and we're grateful for the finished work of Christ that you have completed. Father, but we're grateful that you are continuing to take us further with our walk with you and help our lives to glorify you. In the name of Jesus, these things we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen.